Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate. Now listen to this.
I'll tell you, folks, we're on Earth, and Mercury can kiss my ass! Welcome to summertime. What a disaster. I did all this prep work, and now I get to enjoy this. There you go. We are ripping it tonight. I'm your host, Dr. Mark. The number to call to opine with me is 646-478-4847. And tonight, we are joined by a very special sape who is meandering his way through time and space to be with us here tonight. Short name, Gary V. Long name, Gary Vaynerchuk from Wine Library TV. Hopefully giving me some pointers on how to run my life better. Because I tell you what, the last 10 minutes of technical glitches were enough to land me on a couch. Couch of my choice. Chat room's open, or opening. I see the little connecting lights going on. Eventually I'll be there. Because hopefully we'll have some Vayner Mediacs, or whatever they call them, tuning in tonight to join us here. I'm not sure. There it is. But anyway, you know, the whole deal tonight is to get you guys to understand some of the dynamics that are sort of between the cracks. And hidden between the lines that are out there forming in cyberspace. You know, Blog Talk Radio is a perfect example. Is it perfect? Oh, no. But yet, it's a communication medium like a lot of other things out there. And Gary's excellent at being able to take apart and break down some of these tools and make them user-friendly, because he's not a technical guy either. He's selling wine over there in Jersey, right? So we're going to get into that with him in a couple minutes. We have some swine flu news, all kinds of things. Gaddafi's not going to Bedford. It's just it's a mass hysteria. So I just, you know, want to get into the mood a little bit. Thought I would upload some stuff, but then, you know, life happens. Here I am. And we're going to have to settle for this. So here you go. Here's 30 seconds of what goes on in my head every day. There you go. So we're just going to chunk it down here. Spill the Wine, Eric Burdon and War. In case you haven't heard that song before, if you're a younger sape. There's a couple of things that you know, I wanted to get to before Gary calls in. Because, you know, a couple of threads in the last few shows we did. For the most part, we've been kind of meandering between the way the brain's designed and the way your body reacts, and the way we deal with emotions and communication, all that stuff. And we put together a course that deals with rhythm as it pertains to you adapting to the seasons, yesterday being the first day of the fall. And it's over there on somaspace.org. Again, /. I have not updated the homepage yet. I got a life. I got to get through. This computer's making me nuts.
I got a bad loop. A broken heart.
So you go over to somaspace.org and you /, and you put in morning woo, W-O-O, .html. If you, for some reason, cannot understand what I just said, pop me an email at nakedsummer@gmail.com. I'll get it to you. But morning woo is there, and it's a 90-minute-plus extravaganza featuring myself and William Whitman talking about all the aspects of seasonal change and all the things that are coming up, because I'm telling you, next month is not October. Next month is Oinktober. The swine friend, dun-dun-dun, is coming over to with its vaccine to the shores of the Triple E.
You filthy criminies.
And your cub reporter here will be manning the phones and hopefully getting the news out to run away from the vaccine as it comes across. They're already starting to squeeze the healthcare workers and people like that there. And I will stand on a stack of phone books and tell you, do not put that poison in your body. Just run away from it. And we hopefully get a couple of guests on next 2 weeks to go into more depth. We had Doc on right after Labor Day, actually, from Arizona. We did a whole show on it, so look that up. It was back on September 9th, I guess it was. We talked about the holistic approach to this, and hopefully, like I said, we'll get more people involved in Oinktober and see if we can have a little special. A guy from Giant Microbes on, and some people on from NVIC and things like that. So I'm interested in that because I'm really trying to figure out my niche. That's hopefully what Gary's going to help me do here as we boot up tonight on the big program. Now, Gary won't be staying for the entire show. Rumor has it he only has 20 minutes for us. So we're going to make the most of it here. He's got a lot of things. In case you don't know much about Gary's work beyond selling wine, his book, Crush It, is a runaway bestseller. He's got a tour. He's got a cruise. He's got so many things going on with this book. And he's all over TV. He's all over the Internet. I was in his Ustream tube thing, whatever, before. He's got, you know, people just eat up everything this guy has to say. And we're going to try and figure out why. Now, just before we get going here, this show is really about the applications of something called, maybe you haven't heard it yet, the somatic method. They might have heard of the Sedona method, you might have heard of the scientific method, or maybe even the Socratic method. Well, I got something new. It's called the somatic method. And what it's really about is being able to understand the dynamics of how we move through communication. And how all that subtle dancing goes on is governed by something called the four domains. Now, if you do go over to somaspace.org, right to the homepage as it exists, scroll right down, there's a little thing, because it's meet the four domains, pop through. And if you understand what the four domains are about, and all they are sort of the default settings. They're fixed perspectives of the way we view reality. And what I want to get across to you before we get started with Gary is that everyone's wired a little differently, but these basic themes are there, and if you can perceive where that person is sort of rooted biologically, where they're hardwired, that's where their worldview is. That's where they're going to put their belief system on. And the show, the little tag on the show, is beyond the BS, right? So we're trying to get beyond the belief system and get you out of that habitual way of perceiving things. And then from there, you can do some creative stuff. So let's see if we have, there it is. And then you get to do stuff like this.
And on really romantic evenings of self, I go salsa dancing with my confusion.
There you go. So that's from the movie Waking Life, by the way, if you want to check that out. So like I said, a lot of the stuff that I want to get with Gary is not about the content. I have a couple issues with that, like I did when we talked to Dave Licani a couple weeks ago. It's much, much more about the communication skills and some of the things he does that are subtle, nonverbal, that communicate his message and get into the minds of most people, because Gary is communicating from the template of the Philos. So he's bonding with you, and he communicates through video. So it's 90% of your cortex of your brain is operating on visual cues. He's really getting into your head, literally into your head. And it's just an amazing thing. So hopefully he'll be calling in a couple of minutes. We'll get to that. Again, number to call if you want to get on the line and ask a question or get involved in the show, 646-478-4847. Let me see if this chat room opened up yet. Of course not. Yeah. I'm going to X out of that. See if I can start another chat session. Right before I came in the air, basically Internet Explorer decided to have an aneurysm, so I wasn't able to get in there. What else is new? So there you are. So again, themes for the show tonight that I want to get to with Crush It is much, much more on not the same old tired interview he's done 1,000 times on social media. Yeah, it's great. Twitter's great. Da, 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 and he's crushing it and you're not. Da, 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 da. Okay, fine. It's much, much more about the process he's going through, because I got a feeling every conversation Gary's had since he was, you know, selling baseball cards up to now, where he's leveraging all kinds of things, is constantly about the way he communicates through his authenticity. And we'll get into that with him. So we'll see what happens here. I'm trying to figure out why I can't get to the... see if I go back this way. If I could check an episode. This is me doing my damnedest to get in. Oh, look, I got into my chat room. All right, I got a couple of guests in here. Let's see. Any questions? This is me, like, the slowest guy in the world on this stuff. All right, so... not sure what happens yet. Anyway, let's see if this is working now. Okay. I'm coming. There we are. All right, so Gary should be here any minute. Hopefully he's reminded to call us and chooses to call us. Let's see. There he is. All right, so without further ado, from an undisclosed location in New Jersey, maybe he'll disclose. Welcome, Gary Vaynerchuk, to Soma Time. Good evening, Gary.
How are you, my friend?
All right, all right. Boy, I just saw you a couple hours ago, you know, running around like a chicken with your head cut off on the Ustream, and seems like you come up for air. Because again, your energy is contagious, my friend. I got to tell you that. There's one thing about you that no matter where I see you, whether you're on crack of dawn in the morning, you know, serving wine on the CBS show or... you know, it just seems like you're having a time of your life. So could you just, for people that have never met you, can barely pronounce your name, have absolutely no clue why you're kind of walking by my dopey show, could you give us kind of a 30-second, like, if I just met Gary V on the street, who you are, what you're about, and what you're trying to do here with your work?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I am an entrepreneur who loves his family more than anything and wants to buy the New York Jets, but... one that's very focused on the things he loves most, which is wine. I built a large wine retail company in New Jersey called Wine Library and winelibrary.com online. And then I started a wine video blog called Wine Library TV that kind of made me, quote unquote, internet famous. That's kind of where a lot of my hype in this world came from. And what kind of really got me probably to a different level was when I started talking about business and why I thought people could be building bigger and more interesting businesses about passion. And I started doing that in late 2007 on my GaryVaynerchuk.com blog. You know, probably a lot of the reason people in the last year got to know me was, you know, one of the top 200 probably now followed people on Twitter. And that's kind of, you know, my spiel. You know, I'm an author of an upcoming book called Crush It, which kind of lays out the blueprint of how this kind of clown from New Jersey was able to put together some pieces and build a business.
Yeah, you definitely, like I said, I got the book sitting here, and again, it's one of those reads, if you're taking a flight to Chicago tomorrow, you can probably finish it when you're walking off the plane. It reads like a bottle of wine, actually. Just the more you get into it, the more it flows. It sounds like you kind of sat there and just kind of talked, and just kind of, the book just came from your chest more than your head, the energy of it. And your backstory, if anyone's, you know, investigated a little bit about Gary, and again, this is kind of a poetic timing here because all the news today with the big Russian bajillionaire guy, you know, buying up the whole basically part of Brooklyn over there where the Nets are going to move, and Gary's family's from Russia, started basically like a lot of people in this part of the country coming here, you know, through connections and ended up, you know, taking what was, you know, albeit a modest but, you know, earnest little liquor store, really. And now it's Wine Library, three stories high, and, you know, it's just pulsing through the ethos all night long on the internet. This thing never stops because Gary never stops. It's very annoying sometimes because, you know, it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning and I'm here working, and you'll put up, are you hustling? And I'm like, this guy, he's got $50 million. He doesn't go to sleep. I'm going, it's kind of a, you know, it's one of those things like I can't get tired. And one of the things that you talk about is your three rules. Is that a lot of people, when they get into the workaholic mode, and we'll get into some of the issues around that in a minute, as it relates to the digital era, is that they make a lot of priority decisions based on short term, based on survival, based on sort of like being pushed or crushed from the outside, if you will. And you keep these rules very clear in your head because at the beginning of your book, you spell it out, and you say, love your family, work super hard, live your passion. And then at the end of the book, you talk about, because everyone wants to get into the money, honey, you talk about legacy. So give us a little bit about how you balance that, because you, like you said, you've had people just toss opportunities at you, and you go through a decision process to say, you know, 50 years from now, if my grandchildren see me doing this, you know, am I going to be proud of it? And just give people kind of a little bit of a kind of a Gary 101 value system gut check about how you operate on the web.
I don't want to die.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I think that's a very powerful force in my body and my life. And I think the only way I can win that game, because I'm a normal human being and I understand that I'm going to have to go eventually, hopefully not for 100 years, but is that if I do special things, if I do big things, and if I do them right, I have the chance to have a legacy. And not a legacy just for my family, which everybody should want, but maybe a bigger legacy. And I'm very aware that I was gifted with DNA that makes me motivational, that people are drawn to, that people are willing to listen to because they know it's authentic, I guess. You know, it's this raw passion, right? And so I'm not chasing money. I mean, money has just never been proven to be the winner in the game of life. And I have money, but I don't have insane money. I don't have anywhere close enough to buy the New York Jets yet. And, you know, it's one of those things that I am not capable of making a short-term decision. It's not about the $50,000 for this appearance tonight when I know that it's kind of sleazy and it's not going to look good on me because somebody's going to have a flip cam and I'm going to be associated with that event. And I don't want my grandkids to see it. I don't want my great-grandkids to see it. And I don't want to give anybody excuses. My DNA, my personality, by being so boisterous and having a lot of bravado, already lends itself to people not necessarily right away liking me or trying to find loopholes in my personality or saying I'm very Jersey or Soprano-esque or this and that, Billy Mays, Tony Robbins. There's always pokes in the hole of my personality. But the fundamental fact is I know who my parents raised. I know who I am. I know how honest I am. I know how word is bond to me. I know who I am, what I do, what I think, how I feel, and I want to do things and create actions that make the rest of the world recognize what I'm about.
And again, if you haven't really seen any of Gary's videos, within 30 seconds of him starting what he calls the Thunder Show, you'll know that he's not a formal guy. He's not a guy who's going to put on airs and get all stiff and get all kind of like, you know, professional about it. He does a professional job. He delivers it in an authentic way. It's a rare combination. There's a lot of phoniness out there, and especially with, you know, you deal with any kind of high-end people, be they politicians, sports figures, whatever, Hollywood types. There's that shadow part of their personality where, you know, I mean, Mackenzie Phillips, I don't know what she needed to do today to tell everybody about her and her dad, but now we know. I mean, do we feel better? I don't think so. I feel a little skeevy, but, you know, and this kind of blends into my question here. There's, because of the internet, because of what people are doing up there, there's more of a need to be image conscious. And how is that impacting people personally and the culture as a whole? Because everybody seems to be now attempting to brand themselves. And if you brand yourself, just like a corporation, you've got to protect that image. And do you think it leads to better behavior, or does it lead to more phony behavior, or a combination?
I think it leads to much better behavior because you can't get away with things. I mean, everybody's paying attention. Everybody knows. I mean, I guarantee that cheating on your spouse is going to go way down. I guarantee that, you know, bad activities are going to go down because you're one intern and one flip cam away from having all your stuff exposed. And so people need to recognize that the game has changed and everything you do is being documented. And really, good is going to beat evil. I mean, there's just no other option anymore.
And again, that's led to a lot of people basically trying to get off of Twitter because regulate Twitter like the NFL. And you saw what happened with the guy from the Redskins a couple of days ago. He trashes the fans.
Yeah.
Now, he might have trashed the fans a year ago. Maybe on some blog that nobody reads. It would have been buried up there in the clouds. But because it got on Twitter and everybody basically is just sharing that stuff, I mean, look at the thing that happened with Obama when he dissed Kanye West and they took it down. And because it was up there for 30 seconds, someone took a screen page. Hey, you know, Obama called Kanye West a jackass. And it's like there's almost no you say there's no secrecy. There's almost no solitude either. And I think that leads a lot of people to live a different way of expressing themselves.
No. But this is where it's awesome, right? Because I look at it on the flip side. Obama and that Redskin or anybody else, if they didn't like what they said, they shouldn't have said it in the first place. This is the great thing about it all, right? I mean, the truth is coming to the forefront. The filters, the cloudiness, the shade, the shadows are being unveiled. There's no shadow in the corner anymore. This is Spotlight City. And you know what? Don't say dumb shit and don't do wrong things and nobody's going to know.
Yeah, like I said, I think we had a guest on last week, Sam Gosling, who talked about your digital identity and how he's looking at the correlation between someone's personality and someone's Facebook page. And he says people are putting a lot of things that on their Facebook page to project an image of themselves that isn't really them, and then they're matching it up with people that are surveying their Facebook page, and they're actually correcting it because people want to be known. They want to be genuinely accepted. They want the real impression of themselves to be out there, and it's maybe it gets rid of the pedophiles on the web. Maybe it gets rid of a lot of the mucky stuff that's up there that's been manipulating people for 10, 15 years. One of the comments that sticks with me about your book, I've seen you say it in several interviews, is the Internet, as we know it, is 14 years old. It's basically just starting to rebel against its parents. And so if you think about television in 1963, 64, around there, this is where we are. So, you know, the tools that you talk about now, I love the way you kind of throw Facebook and Twitter out as like a hammer and a wrench. They're just tools. They're not something to be obsessed over. But yet people get very mired down in the minutiae of those tools. And how can we get to the point where they can do things like you're talking about and really get to the point where they're flowing up there?
You know, it comes down to DNA. It comes down to educating yourself and understanding what's going on a bigger picture. There's a lot of people that are really in the trenches, and that's a strength of mine. I get in the trenches. But my thinking, see, my actions are in the trenches. My actions are getting dirty. My actions are old school. My actions are ghetto. But my thinking is high in the clouds. It's big time. It's global. And I think that contradiction is what lends itself to a lot of success for me. And I think the more people can create that division of working hard but thinking big, the quicker they're going to have big things happen.
Well, again, this is one of the things where I get into the long tail a lot because, you know, the people that arrive first try to pitch it to everybody else. And one of the things in your book you talk about is a lot of self-inquiry. You know, page 70 of the book, you basically, is what you're doing or what you're trying to project on the web your ultimate passion? Because if it's not, you're either going to give up or it's going to be a flat deal and you're going to come across as someone who's not really pushing something out there that's attached to you. And am I good enough to be the best at it? And you go out of your way to say, hey, not everyone's going to be extraordinary at this. Not everyone's going to be Oprah. But somewhere between 40 grand and maybe $1 million a year is out there for almost any niche if someone combines the right medium and the right passion. How does someone get to the point? Now, I'm over here, you know, you're selling wine on the web, okay? I'm trying to talk about somatics. So if you gathered everyone on the planet Earth that knew what somatics was, we would have like a good checker game going. But wine has people that are just gaga over the stuff. If you have some kind of, you know, way out thing that you're interested in, and eBay's made sort of a niche out of this where people that can get into 1962, you know, cartoons, and we'll meet in the corner over here. Is there a way to take that, you know, a kind of extreme and maybe sort of misunderstood a concept and make it popular on the web, or is it constantly you got to kind of, you know, park your beach blanket where you are on the beach and kind of hope people come by?
You've got to realize that we're all in the same business. We're in the eyeballs and ears business, right?
Yep.
I promise you that if 200,000 people were listening to this interview right now, you'd be making plenty of money. Or if you weren't, I would show you how to make plenty of money. But you have to understand.
We're losing you, Gary. Getting a little fuzzy. Oh, we lost Gary. I don't know if he's on a cell, but hopefully he'll call us back. I think I know who's hanging on the air over here. We'll see if we can pull him up while Gary tries to call us back, hopefully. Oh, there he is. All right. Gary, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got a call for you here. What's welcome to Summertime 631. Go ahead for Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Mike, Mike Silva here. How you doing, Dr. Mark?
How you doing? Yeah, Mike Silva from New York Baseball Digest.com. You got a question for Gary?
No, I was just listening to the show, and good stuff. And I just, you know, listen, I heard what he said about if I had 200,000 listeners, I'd be making money from your mouth to God's ears. Because right now, with the way it is with advertising dollars, I'm curious what Gary thinks, how the economy, especially with the product that I have that's basically advertising-based, because you can't really charge for content these days. How that's coming into play and impacting, obviously independent media, kind of like what I'm doing.
Yeah, but coach him up, Gary, because you work with Matt Cerrone from Mets Blog, and you got involved with the Jets. How do people that basically have a really popular topic, like he covers the Mets and the Yankees, how does he take his product and monetize it on the web when he's getting eyeballs, he's getting hits, he's getting reposted all over the place, but basically that next step of making a killing like you do, because you have a knack for saying, I've got the eyeballs and the ears, I run the show. How would you get Mike's Mike to the next level here?
Can Mike hear me?
I think
yes.
So, yeah.
Mikey, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. A couple questions. How much time a day do you spend on creating content?
Oh, wow. You know what? It's funny. I mean, in terms of just actual writing, you know, I would say it's at least 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at night. That's just the writing. But, you know, from a creative standpoint, you listen to the radio, you have thoughts. I mean, it's a 24/7 news cycle. My mind is going all the time. So.
Right. So let me ask you another question. How much time are you spending answering fan email?
You know, that's just the morning thing. You know, that's probably, in the course of the day in the morning, I would say less than an hour.
Are you emailing back every person that emails you?
No. I would just say the pertinent ones. I mean, we get a lot of comments and a lot more interaction on the site than through email.
Are you leaving comments from other people that are leaving comments? Like when somebody do you know what I did yesterday?
What?
I, even where I'm at right now, let's quote unquote say I've made it to some people. I emailed every single person that left a comment on the latest Wine Library TV episode thanking them.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely if they email me personally. I mean, every comment on the site, I would say, I will respond to. But I guess I see where you're going. You'll get a more personal touch is what you're saying.
Mikey, that's the game. That's your advantage. You're not the sports guy, right? Like, you're not Mike Francesa. You've got an advantage. You could be real to these people. My other question is, you have to understand, I spend 12 hours a day. Even now, I spend 7 to 8 hours a day interacting, ad-replying. Mm-hmm. How many people did you ad-reply, don't lie, yesterday that talked to you on Twitter, if they did at all?
I'm trying to get what you mean. What do you mean advertise? How many followers or what are you talking about?
Not advertise, at-reply. Do you have a Twitter account?
Yes, I do have a Twitter account, yes.
Do you search your name and your Twitter user handle every day?
Do I search it? No, I do not.
So
I mean,
you,
I go
like,
on there.
This
I don't.
Like hygiene for Gary. Gary does this like he brushes his teeth and gets a bologna sandwich.
On Twitter every day. I have about 1,300 followers. I know that's modest in the world of Twitter.
No, it's not modest.
If
you have 1,300 followers on Twitter and you really gave a crap about those 1,300 the way mm-hmm. I did when I had 1,300, you would be on your way to 850,000 like I am. I truly fundamentally believe that. The problem is that I don't feel that people give enough back to their audience. I think you're probably a great guy and do all the right things, but I promise you, just on these couple of answers, you're leaving so much to be desired from what I believe in, from what the principles that I wrote about in the book. I want people to engage and give a crap about their audience on a level that ESPN and Mike Francesa and Max Kellerman could never dream to, and that's why they're going to care about you more, because you care about them more, my man.
Very fair point. Didn't think of it that way. Very fair point.
Okay, what's that word, ad-reply? What'd you say?
Ad-reply, meaning when somebody says something about me on Twitter, I can hit a button and at them, right? The at sign, their name. So ad-reply, meaning every person, I try sometimes to every person that says something to ad-reply them and say thank you, or red wine, or, yeah, the Jets are 2-0. It's awesome. You need to engage with people. That is the game. It's not, see, what everybody doesn't understand is social media is not about talking. It's about listening.
sounds like what you've done is just an extension of what you did on the ground when you were talking to the wine customers as they came into the store, and you noticed that they took a little more time than the beer and liquor people, and you engaged them in the store, and then you said, hey, if I did this, you know, up in the clouds, I could have the same conversation, and you're still having the same conversation that you would have if they were just coming into your store to buy a bottle for, you know, for their Saturday night meal, and it's like you're getting that almost like the, you know, like it's just the same retail conversation you'd have, like a merchant here in town would have, or I'd have with a client who walked in my office, or Mike would have with his sales team, and you're extending that through the digital medium and saying, you know, forget that you're on the phone or you're on Twitter. It's still people and people on both sides of the coin here. Engage them as if they're right in front of you.
One by one, straight hustle, grind, 15 hours a day. Your audience is the game, because, Mike, a lot of people talk about the Yankees and Jets, but a lot of people don't give a crap more than you do. And if you prove you give a crap more, you're going to win. And on the advertising front, all you have to do is do the same darn thing. If I were you, what I would do is I would spend 15 hours a day on talking to people, and of that 15 hours, I would spend 12 hours talking to people, replying to them, leaving comments on other blogs, answering, thanking everybody who posted a comment on mine, emailing them, Twittering, Facebooking, all that, and 3 hours a day cold calling everybody I ever saw advertise on Google or any sports Mets or Yankees blog and telling them why they should advertise with me.
Very fair point. I agree with you. Thank you very much.
This is hustle. I mean, this is why you say a lot of people don't have the cojones for this, is because it's straight uphill to do this kind of stuff. But if you have, like you said, if you match the thing you're interested in most, and what you're saying is, if Mike's still got 1 foot in the day world, in his day job, and that's, you know, that's where he's getting 99% of his money, and, you know, the blog stuff is still kind of a labor of love, he's got to show the same amount of passion and concern for that venue that he does at the job that's actually giving him money right now, because he can replace that job.
No. He needs to give more than what he's doing at his regular job because he doesn't love that, right?
More. Okay, yeah.
More. Yep. And more importantly, Mike can't play Madden football, and the Mikes of the world can't go out for beers with their buddies, and the Mikes of the world can't watch friggin' Lost. They need to hustle and grind if this is what they want to do. Mike, you need to type in right after this phone call, New York Mets, New York Yankees on Google, and you need to click every one of the people that are buying ads on the right side, because there's a lot of small businesses that are doing it there. They want to reach people that are looking for that subject matter, and you need to convince them why they need to give you $50 a week, because you're going to give them better return and more relevant stuff than the stuff they're buying on Google.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Very fair point. Thank you very much.
Relevant question here. Okay, Mike. Thanks for calling. Relevant question here for you, Gary. Just to riff off of that from the chat room here. InfoDude777. What if my competitors are doing the exact same thing as me? How do I differentiate myself? Just
pump out better. Pump out better content. Because at the end of the game, everybody's going to hear what I have to say about this, and everybody's going to get educated on this eventually, and it's going to go back to the same old game. Who's got the best content? So if Mike is writing better stuff about the Yankees and Mets and more interesting and he's funnier, he's going to win. Because there's been 700 wine shows that have come out on the internet since mine, and I've beaten the crap out of all of them because I'm better.
And again, do you think that's just is that a DNA question? Is that basically there's you know, so many people can hop on this wine library thing and you're going to win because, again, you have the DNA and they maybe don't have that personality and they might have more information than you, but they don't have the hustle that you have?
No. See, if they have more information, they're going to win a different game, right? They're going to win, too. If you got something, you're going to win. You don't have to be the most charismatic and extroverted person on the block. You just need to have something that's valuable, something that's differentiated. There's somebody that can come out with a wine video blog that could be very boring and monotone, but they know a crap load about Chianti and have a show called The Chianti Show, and they will have an audience.
And again, that is the nature of the web, is that there's room for all of these different things to thrive, because you're not competing for the same basic dollar every day out on the street, because there's so many different people. You can literally, you've got almost 1 million people following you on Twitter. You could have another 1 million people follow you on Twitter that have nothing to do with this first 1 million, based on something you did that has nothing to do with wine. That has something to do with this.
That's my life. I mean, my 850,000 followers, I would say 600,000 follow me because of business.
Yeah, that's almost like Wine Library was sort of like my biology degree. It's hanging on the wall behind me, but I haven't used it in 20 years. You know, and the thing is that, you know, just to kind of give kind of a full circle on this, is that you said it a couple hours ago in your Ustream, and I have a guy here now, you know, who wants to go talking about the Jets, you know, in the thing, is that your target, your main goal in terms of your ambitions has nothing to do with VaynerMedia or Weinlauber TV per se, but you want to use and leverage all this to buy the Jets. Has Woody Johnson, I mean, you're in business with these guys, has Woody Johnson taken these overtures seriously, or is he still looking at you like, nice, nice kid?
I think it's a little nice, nice kid right now, and that's fine, and I respect that. He's busy taking care of much bigger issues than some punk kid running around all the newspapers and TV shows saying that he's going to buy his squad, right?
Right.
I mean, so, you know, which is fine. I mean, you know, I know what I'm after. Listen, even if I come up with the $3 billion eventually that will be needed to buy the Jets when I'm ready, I got to get lucky that he wants to sell, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are in play, but I know what I believe in, and that's good enough for me, right?
No, yeah. Just to kind of clear up a couple, because the business questions are pouring in here, you know, cover your book, you got a quote from Tim Ferriss, okay? Tim Ferriss is the absolute opposite of you. Okay, in terms of the way he's wired, the way he runs his business operation, he doesn't answer his email for 2 weeks. He automates everything. Every time you see the guy, he's on a different island. Maybe he's on Gilligan's Island tonight. And his whole mindset is the old rich would defer all of their relaxation till retirement, and the new rich are taking mini vacations, and they're basically all living a lifestyle that's more of the kind of a, you know, a little bit of a jet set lifestyle, but they're doing it with using these automated tools, using virtual assistants and things like that. And he's got a quote on the cover of your book that basically says, learn everything you're doing. So how does the person who's like Mike calling up or me, who's just getting on the beach of this thing, how do you take two contradictory messages of how to apply the techniques and resolve which one is going to work for you, because both of you guys are on the bookshelf and we're standing in the bookstore?
I think it's about looking within yourself and understanding who you're more like. But I think Ferriss works much harder than people think, right? Ferriss is good at streamline. Listen, it's a difference in principle. Everybody thinks I'm an idiot for doing. Do you know how many people think I'm stupid for doing this interview right now?
More than me, but yeah, okay. I'm sure because you'd be doing something better.
I mean, that's what they think, but I don't. I think you've got an audience. I think you've got a passion. I'm flattered that you're interested. And you know what? If I hit three people tonight who never heard about me, I'm willing to put in 30 minutes for three people. That's who I am. Other people, you know, people like me that are on today's, you know, I'm going to be on the Today Show next week. I'm going to be Dr. Oz. I was in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times last couple weeks. They feel that's enough. I don't. It just matters what you think. You know what I mean? And what I think is that anybody who gives a rat's ass about me, well, then I'm
going to
give a rat's ass about them twice.
Yeah, and again, this is part of what I do, because knowing your profile, we talked about it a little before we got on the air, you being a philo, your whole way of getting coherent is through interpersonal interaction, through bonding experiences, where our friend Ferriss is wired like me, he's an eco, they literally live on emotion. So if they're not having fun, they're done. And that's why he goes from hopping from one thing to the other, and he keeps everything else automated, so he doesn't have to get involved, doesn't get into the sticky, icky stuff and get into all those, you know, customer conflicts and hassles. He keeps skating. As long as he's moving, you know, he's flowing. Where you have a capacity, because you're wired into that bonding mode, that early developmental mode, and you reference your family a lot. These are all philo signatures that, and I'll send you later. Maybe you get a chance to figure it out, because it's something that makes you. And that's the stuff that I do, is that if people knew what they were, like you talk about, you know, knowing yourself in the book and knowing the medium, you can know yourself, choose the right medium, choose the right topic, get awesome content, make lots of money, be happy. That's basically your prescription. Not a lot of people can accept that on its face value, because they've been duped before. They've been, like you said, the unaccountable error before all this came up was that someone would sell them a book like this and they wouldn't work, and there was no accountability. Where now they can go on one of these Amazon sites and write a horrible, you know, review on them. They could trash them on Twitter. They could do all kinds of things. There's a two-way conversation going here. So you as an author, you as someone who's a leader, you know, you're on the same level in a sense to people that you're interacting with, because they might have information that can get you to the next level, and same way going the other direction. So just to wrap it up, because I know you got to get going, what advice can you give for people that are skeptical about what you do, and what advice can you give people that are completely sold on you, that almost think the gospel is coming from Gary every day? Take those two extremes out and put us in the middle of the bell curve, and where are we?
I want to thank the gospel people, and I want to tell them that I'm only a human and I'm not, you know, Messiah or anything like that, but I have it figured out for me, and I feel like it's very clear, and I wish them nothing but happiness, and I thank them, and I'm flattered. The people that think that, you know, I'm full of crap, I really don't know what to say, you know? I mean, I get it, you know, I just know I'm going to win, and I know that people that see it the way I see it and have the ability to execute are going to win as well. It's not about the end game. It's about the process. If you love the process, you're going to be a winner. And, you know, I'm very competitive. The people that think I'm wrong or I don't have it, you know, I want to beat their faces in. That's my genetics, right? I want to show them, you know, the amount of people that have emailed me. There was a guy who was an agent in Hollywood who emailed me the other day and said the biggest mistake he ever made in his career was to think I was full of crap and didn't have it in 2006 when he first saw Wine Library TV. And you know what? I love that. I want to prove people wrong. The people that are skeptical and don't believe, I promise you, they're the ones that drive me every day because that gets me off. I want to prove people wrong. That's my jersey in me. You know, that's my immigrant in me. I love that. I feed off of that energy because I know where I'm going and there's nobody that's going to stop it.
Well, again, if anyone checked out the preview I did on my dopey blog, blogsoma.net, terrapad.com is the platform over there. It's a little sketchy. I got to get out of there. But basically, what I said was is that a lot of people don't understand how underestimated the web's been, and how when you're underestimated by life, how that's an advantage for you. They never see you coming, and a lot of stuff that you've done, and the way you communicate, you're absolutely verbally. I mean, like I said, the English teachers would be sitting there with the red marker and going all crazy about your predicates and all that stuff. But non-verbally, you're a maestro, and that's what people don't understand. Is that 99% of the time, we're not even conscious of the verbal malaprops and stuff because we're engaging with people on a body-to-body level first. Then we figure out the words. And that's why when you communicate your heart and your soul, when the first 30 seconds of any one of these videos I've watched, you're so happy that flip cam's working and you get to talk to this audience again that it doesn't matter what you say after that. I have no interest in wine, but I'll watch 3 or 4 minutes of that stuff just to watch the way your gestures. Like if you really want an experiment, Gary, mute yourself and watch your gestures. You're making tons of figure eights, which makes people's eyes move to all four quadrants of their brain. And floods their brain with blood that they normally don't get unless they're like in a passionate, prayerful state. So you're doing a moving meditation even though you don't even know it, which is probably not good. You shouldn't know it, but it's out there. And it's one of those things that when I watch nervous systems and you have a nervous system, it's some of the things you say, okay, that's what I want to know. I don't care about the why. I don't care about the stuff. I don't care about the techniques. I want to know how this guy is able to sustain that amount of intensity. It's because you have a very, very deep and very, very vast sense of coherence. You know who you are, and you know what you want to do. And that's the riddle of the Sphinx for most everybody else from 35 to 65, after they've screwed up, failed, made mistakes, gotten bloody, gotten their nose beat up, and now they're sitting there in their 30s with a mortgage, and the wife's hassling them, and the kids are getting on their nerves, and they've got to come up with something. And they do things, like you said, short-term, low-leverage, survival, you know, get some money, and they lose their vision. So just to close up, because I know you got to go, what one thing can people do? What one thing can they go up on Twitter now and just find something that's going to get them back on purpose, other than buy your book, of course, that's going to show them that it's possible for them to make some headway here?
You know what? It's not one thing, my man. Honestly,
I know.
I know you don't. You know, I'm not in the one or sprint business. It's just, here's what it is. Honestly, it can be done. It's being done, and the biggest difference is, 3 years ago, it couldn't be done. It could not be done. The platforms are now so defined and so used that your sweat and your heart and your caring can win now. And that is something that people don't believe because they were right to get burned in the past and not believe. But I want people to understand how big this is. What I really want to know is, I'm telling by your body language, you consumed some books and different things here and there. What did you think about the book? Like, what did you think?
Your book's got two dimensions. There's the backstory, like I said, where you came from, And then the other part of the book is that you point outside the book more than you point inside the book. Most people in a business book, they point to themselves and their accomplishments and look at me, and you point at everybody else you met along the path. So you point to the new culture. You point to things that aren't in this book. You actually say in part of the book, most of the stuff I'm writing now is going to seem a little irrelevant 6 months, 9 months, 10 months from now. So you write a book that has no back cover, that has no bottom. And again, you have a 10-book deal, so maybe that's a good thing. But it's you write a book that is like life. It's incomplete, yet it's whole. It's there in front of you. It's evolving. It's a dynamic thing. And that's why the phrase, crush it, and some of the other phrases that you guys talk about in your wine library thing, it kind of cracks me up because people live their bumper stickers. I really believe that. And and that's why I think some of the things you say, hustle. You just say hustle, and it means so much more when you say it than when anyone else says it, because like you said, your actions are your demonstrable way of communicating more than you know, a lot of pontificating. Because there's a lot of people, like I said, they throw the bone. They say, go fetch, be like me. And they leave no clue. And people will struggle and they'll try these things. I just rattle off some names the last 3 or 4 years, guys that have buzzed by my window. Michael Port, for example. He's like you. Wired just like you. Did the Think Big Revolution. Wrote the book Solid Stuff. But when you try to apply his work, very similar to Ferris, you have to be a technical superhero to be able to do all that stuff. So you might make it a third of the way through his message and go, oh my God, I got to figure out the Facebook code of this and this. I don't know. And then you end up going off on a whole bunch of tangents. With your stuff, you barely need to know anything about the internet except your message and who you are. And then let the tools, like you said, the roads are paved. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. And that's the magic of what you do. And that's, like I said, I what I got out of the book was stop thinking so much and just do something, and do something consistently to the point, like you said, where you're competing against yourself and your own standards, and you know when you've done a good job, you know when you bake a good cake, you know when you make the bed right, and you know when you've done something successful on the web because there's feedback. And you say, yep, Pay attention to the feedback.
Oh, own the feedback. Live that crap. That's the game. People just don't care as much as I do. Everybody's like, well, why did you, how did the, because I care more than you do. You want cash, and I want friends. That's what the difference is. And I want friends because friends are going to be there through the rocky roads or the dips, and I'm building real relationships because I give a crap, and what you give a crap is Benjamin's, and what I give a crap is about my friend Lala in Ohio. I mean, it's a different game.
Well, again, that goes back to the way knowing who you are and saying that someone that's much more removed from that isn't really socially open and is in this for the business deal, they're going to be about, you know, the I's and the T's and all that kind of stuff, and they're not going to get the payoff you get because they're not even looking for those payoffs. They want the automated life. They want the, you know, push-button, you know, stuff that Ferris is talking about, and maybe that stuff might work for them, but I really think the long tail for that is way longer than what you're talking about because you're taking things down to the nub and saying, strip away all your training, strip away your background. When you get out of bed in the morning, what lights you up? And then when you figure out what that is, go talk about it everywhere, and eventually, you'll have a big circle of people talking about it with you, and once you have a community, like you said, the eyeballs and the ears, that's where the advertisers are going to go. That's why someone like Mike Silver, who's got thousands of listeners, you know, on his site, instead of trying to figure out how to monetize it like WFAN, he monetizes it like New York Baseball Digest and says, you know what, I'm in the minor league system. I'm talking to the scouts. I'm in here down in the nitty-gritty at the rookie ball level. Engage people on that level because that's where your audience is. And I think that's one of the things that you never went for the snooty wine guys. You went for the guys that were new to wine and said, I'm going to make this okay for them. I'm going to make them not feel so stupid and so awkward around wine because they really want to know it, but nobody gives them a welcome mat. No one says, here, come in and play with me. And you said, I'm just like you. It smells like bubblegum to me too. Hardly anyone would admit that in the snooty wine community. And I hate to say, you know, I'm anti-elitist, but I kind of feel like the elitist got to be elitist because the rest of us said, I don't think I can make it up that mountain. And you kind of mowed it down for them and made it okay. And that's why I think, like I said, your book, it's a plane ride book, guys. If you're taking a flight, a puddle jumper flight out of Westchester Airport tomorrow, you know, and you're heading to Chicago or something like that or Washington, D.C., maybe flip it around, maybe two flights for that. But you're going to get through the book and you're going to go, how's this son of a bitch doing this? And he gives you bullet points, and he gives you kind of like, almost like a, like if you took a pinball game and said, okay, forget about the ball, just watch where everything is hitting, and gave you the vapor trail. Hit this, hit that, hit this. And it's like he's giving you mirrors, and he's giving you a way to understand things that aren't written in the traditional business model books, because the traditional business model books are written for academic reasons and for ego. And you don't get that from Gary ever. And you can see the way I popped into the Ustream thing because you posted it on Twitter. And I would say, oh, okay, I go check out what he's doing, see how his little circle kind of plays with him over here. And you were engaging with, I don't know, 250 people as if they were sitting in your office. And you just never see that. You just, like I said, that's what's rare about you. And the book, like I said, Crush It, is it says Cash In on Your Passion. I don't know, did you write the subtitle too? Is that the publishing company that figured that out?
Oh, I did. But you know what the funny part is? It depends on what you define cash, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, your wealth and your revenue is like you said, is in relationships. Because relationships can always be deepened and can always be more, and you want that support because you just like you said before, the immigrant in you, it's not now while the sun is high and you can fix the roof. It's when there's a flood and the roof's leaking that the friends come to help you. And this is the difference between the entrepreneur that's the conqueror and the entrepreneur that's the communicator. And like if you have a different ethos to you and you're talking about, you're saying you're not the only one. We say that more than one time in the book. And you point to the fact that most people, when they get involved with this stuff, greed is the motivation and not being able to greet people and meet people. And you are who you meet is one of the phrases I say around here. And again, meeting you, interacting here, this is like kind of weird. It's almost like, when you meet someone that you went to college with, and it's like you know them before you get there. There's a friendliness to you that's authentic beyond the conventions of what normal business transactions would be. So, like, if you follow Gary on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, and you kind of see where he's going, his day is you're living almost like on the moving escalator of his day and watching him go through. And as a workaholic, a fellow workaholic with a family and all the things, all the pressure, just like I'm just across the river here, I get what you're going through. You got a new kid, you got a lot of the common things people deal with, but you have a unique way of sort of not letting that bother you. One of the things he cracked me up before was you had the tissue boxes with the crushes that say stop crying, no more crying. You actually leveraged tissue boxes and put quotes of motivational guys around the box, you know, as a way to get the Crush It message out. So just, you know, I guess to wrap up, because we kind of overstayed our welcome here, what can you give people as a suggestion that if they just met you, and other than following you and reading the book, that would reflect or extend the things we talked about tonight in terms of trusting themselves and trusting their audience? Because I think there's a combination of, am I visible enough and am I credible enough? And if people go too visible and they get overexposed, they think it impacts their credibility. And if they hunch up and try to be very factual and very, you know, I'm going to hold my cards close to the vest, nobody sees them. So you just kind of, just to sum up, what would you say to kind of get that 7-10 split resolved?
Screw everybody who said you couldn't. I know a lot of you listening right now had moms who didn't give you the love or the self-esteem that my mom did. It's easy for me to say, screw your mom, you can. But basically, screw your mom, you can. We are living in a world now that nobody's in control but yourself. It blows my mind. It's just, I can't stress it enough. Everything's changed in 36 months. Go and get it, because it's there. $1 trillion is going to be in play over the next decade. Cable TV is going to fall. It's going to fall, collapse in 10 years. And all the money that's going to be available is going to be so staggering. I just want people to get their $5, $10, $15, $100,000 worth. And if you do it around the thing you love the most, the Yankees, painting, rock climbing, yoga, salads, you're going to be putting in the 15 hours a day you need to actually get that letter, to get that cash. So that's it. It's not complicated. It's real. You can make money doing what you love, and it's because the internet has come to save you. I mean, that's it.
All right, Gary, I appreciate you joining us here tonight. And, again, you can check him on Wine Library TV. CrushIt.com is up there. The book's up there. Gary, you cannot help but bump into this man. I thank you so much for joining us here in Summertime. Hopefully we'll cross paths again, my friend, and travel light.
Stay well, man. Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so there he goes as we say goodbye to Gary. 6655529. Okay. I'm talking to myself. And for the most part, I guess the message got out there. If you guys have any questions for it, we got a couple minutes left here at 646-478-4847 if you want to go over that. A couple of people still hanging out in the chat room. If you got any more questions, I can just bounce off Gary. I can always email to him. I want to make sure you guys understood what he was trying to say, because the nonverbal stuff, he talked as fast as I did. So anyone listening to this, west of the Mississippi, maybe west of the of Delaware Water Gap, might have said, you know what, these two loudmouth East Coast guys are just, they're wearing me out. But what he was really trying to get across was, and he said it to me, he knows that I know that I know. But the thing is that when you have a passion, and I mean a passion, this is something that you have what's called in somatics a DTI, a deep trance identification. It is you. You are it. Okay? Now, I'm into my Mets. Okay? I'm suffering right now. They're getting their butts kicked again by the stinking Braves, and they've lost like 7 or 8 games in a row to this lousy, rotten, horrible team. And I'm suffering, all right, because that's me. That's me in the corner. Gary does that with the Jets. Jets lose. Don't go near Gary before 10 o'clock, the next morning, because he's going to be dealing with it. And that we talked about, a little bit last week, and we talked about it a lot on the Morning Woo, actually, which you can go over to somaspace.org / and hit the Morning Woo. And if you miss that link, pop me over there at nakedsoma@gmail.com. I'll get it to you. The Morning Woo, as a seasonal awareness, talks about attachment and the fall and loss, and how we suffer needlessly because we don't learn how to get things off our chest. There's nothing on Gary's chest. He gets it all out every day. And he has a huge audience to interact with that he looks at as equals. He looks at as family, not people to get over on and take advantage of and exploit. And that, we wanted to hammer him on the personal branding thing because, as we've had Douglas Rushkoff on the show talk about, is that when you go the corporate route and take on the corporate mindset, you become a little impersonal. You become a little systematic. You become a little robotic. And so people get, a little turned off. And, one of the things that I'm afraid of when people get a superficial level of this message is that we turn into a bunch of sort of digital Amway salesmen. So we're always pushing. We're always selling. It's the hard sell. And you're hitting your mailman up, and you're hitting people crossing the streets up. You become evangelical about it, and people get cauliflower ear from you. And what he's talking about is permission marketing, the Seth Godin way of going. Opt in, engage, invite, allow, plant seeds. Don't strive and grab and push and act like a desperate fool. He's saying it ain't about the money, because if you have relationships that you can trust that are coherent, that's where the loot is. Relationships can be leveraged. Money comes and goes and passes through. And again, when you don't have it, when you don't have the money, you need the relationships. When you have the relationships, you don't really need as much from the money because you have something that can actually be converted into money. People can do favors for you. Things that Rushkoff was talking about and moving more to a local currency, like the Berkshires and things like that, and some of the things that people are doing with urban farming and things like that. Gary's got a lot of ideas that are synergistic, that play off of other people's activities. He talks about, an example in there about someone who's good at gardening and how they could combine things with the community service with 5 or 6 other businesses that have nothing to do with gardening, but they're peripheral to it, and how we could take this into they would cultivate the vegetables, and then they go to a vegan restaurant and cook the meal together. The stories in this guy's head, like he said, his thoughts are lofty, his actions are grounded. He's a street guy. He kicks it just like everybody else in Jersey does, very old school. He rolls up his sleeves every morning, puts on his pants just like you guys, and goes to work. And he literally goes to work, and he whistles while he works. If you watch him on the Ustream, you would think he doesn't exhale. But that effervescence is not an act. I swear to God, he had it before the camera was on him, and he'll probably have it long after the camera's not on him. What we need to learn from Gary is that communication is not something that you can master and own and distribute like you did language, okay? Communication is dynamic. Communication is raw. Communication is untamable. And that's why he says, don't try to, push the river, in a sense. And when you don't try to push the river and you don't try to steer everything and control everything, you don't have as much fear. Most people in business operate out of fear. Fear of what? Losing control. And then, if you listen to Gary long enough, he says, you never had it in the first place. You never had it in the first place, and you're never going to have it. So stop trying to gain it. Stop trying to master things and corral things. And his entire effort in the book that really spoke to me and also made me yell at him a lot in the book was this notion of having, both the lure and the lasso, as he calls it. The lure is your content, and that's what he was talking about with Mike there. is that if you engage people with good content and you interact with them, you don't just promote it. You don't just put, here's the gospel, and read it and weep. And people are afraid of feedback because they fear criticism. But the criticism is, it's the corn of the poop. It's like you take the corn out of the poop and you go, oh, okay, I could use this. I could learn from this because the next effort I'm going to incorporate what this guy was thinking, and so I can communicate his map. By understanding the domains, though, and again, four domains, what are those? Philo, Onto, Eco, and Exo. Soon to be on Facebook as a little quiz for you, Sapes, too, because I'm tired of trying to guess this stuff with you. But if you go over to somerspace.org, click on the four domains, it talks about it. That first developmental step is to bond. Philosomatic. I'm a human, you're a human. We're on Earth. Let's have a relationship. And that's 80% of the population is having a conversation with themselves and having a conversation with someone who is significant to them in their life. If you understand that that is the platform that everything else takes place on, a book like Crush It doesn't surprise you, but it also sort of amuses you that this is so fundamental, I don't have to sit here and become a technical wizard in order to get that done. I just have to communicate my message from that space. And then when you do that, of course, all the connections light up because your physiology, that ontosomatic part of you that's referencing yourself, will feel safe. And when it feels safe, you have neuroception, baby. Then the picture tube's in, you have a guiding image for the future, and you go to that future because you're not afraid to go to that future. A lot of people drag their damn past with them, so they repeat the same mistakes over and over again because that fear is still there. And if you get the fun in there, the fear goes away. Gary risks a lot. Every time he comes on a dopey show like mine, he risks a lot of his hard-earned reputation because he's untamable. I swear he must drive his PR reps crazy because, he does things that are outside the lines. I mean, even the videos are not done to impress you. They're done to communicate. He's not trying to speak at you, and that's the difference, and that's why in this era where he talks about in the beginning that it's an era of accountability. It's an era of the digital footprint that there's going to be, up there for eons and eons, all your mistakes, all your errors, and all your trials. So if you take that into heart, you say, I'm going to put more effort out there than I normally would in my daily job where there is no echo. There is no memory. I have no record of what I did, March 13th, 1997 with my office. I can go look and see who came in and got on my table that day, but I can't reconstruct that day. I can't watch a video of that day. I can't go back and get quotes from that day. All the wisdom of that day is out the window. But stuff on the web, it leaves a mirror. It leaves an echo. It leaves something behind that you can reflect on and learn from over and over again. All right? So that's what I wanted to cover with Gary tonight because I really felt that it's something that it kind of bridges what we were talking about last week on the other side of the street, talking about identity from the inside and personality from the inside. This is social. This is interactive. This is much more my alley. Yet I have reservations because of my BS, my belief system, about the way the business world works, especially when I hear the words personal branding. Because to me that means, here you go, don't worry, we didn't need that soul, and strips you, makes you this hollow kind of robot that does the things that are on the checklist. And I mention Michael Port because, not for nothing, but Michael Port is from a different school of thought that goes more traditionally through. What's your target market? That kind of crap that makes you crazy. What's the target market for somatics? The living. Okay, that narrows it down. And it's like, again, we've had Mary Eddie on here talking, who's a somatics educator, and she'll say to me, somatics for what? And it's like, if you don't have a purpose to do your exercise program, if you don't have a purpose to do your inner work, if you don't have a purpose to do your hygiene, whether it's, neurological hygiene or, in his case, his business hygiene of making sure he touches base with his customers, things like that. If you don't have a system for that, if you don't have that kind of, at a level of second nature, you lose your passion, you lose your edge. Everything becomes a damn chore. And then things don't get done, you get sloppy, and you lose your way. And you lose your way on purpose. It isn't an accident. You lose your way because that's what you're doing. It's by design. So if you're feeling that frustration, and because most people on the web have, like Mike Silva there, they have one foot in their old world, in the day job that got them, it got them as far as they could. It was a stepping stone. None of us are going to have the same career for 40 years. None of us. We're all going to be branching out and changing. Gary started, if you read his book, shoveling ice in the basement of the store there, and paying attention. And he'd creep up and he'd see the people looking over the wines, and he would start reading the wine stuff. He said, hey, these guys are, they're really kind of like concerned about which wine they're going to get, and they're really taking a long time to make a decision. And he studied up and got conversant and got into the snooty rooms and learned all their little mores, and he could be there with them. He knew it. He had the left brain chops, but he always had the right brain connection to the people that are a little awkward around wine. Oh, I might say something dumb. I might look dumb here. And he made it okay. He made it okay to be yourself, drink your wine, learn something, enjoy it, have a community, and not be so intellectually closed off that you can't make this something that's fun for people. And he's doing it. And again, I don't know if everyone in the wine community approves of it. I don't think he's really asking their approval. He accepts the fact that, and he can tell, it kind of hurts his feelings a little bit. But some people think he's full of crap. Some people think he's no good. Because he really invests himself in communicating that message. So, you know, that's it on Gary. Just wanted to, I'm glad he came on. I kind of followed him on Twitter, like a lot of people did, just because, wow, what is this crazy man doing? But I'm a student of this nonverbal communication stuff, and when I see someone that does that, it's no accident that he is where he is. And if you watch him on TV on the Today Show next week and you heard him tonight, same guy. It's the same guy. He's talking to me. Me, dopey me, sitting here in my dopey office in Larchmont as if I'm, you know, Matt Lauer. You know, he understands the two stages, I'm sure, but he also knows that if he does something, if he gets into the habit of modulating his performance, literally, to the audience that he's communicating to, oh, these are important people, these are not important people, they're going to do the same thing to him. And he's going to get, you know, big-footed a bunch of times. And it rolls back on him. So it's a two-way street. You stay aware of that, and a lot of this noise goes away. And it keeps it very, very simple there. And that's what the book is, you know. Told you. You can read the book in a couple of hours on a flight, and you go, wow, it doesn't seem like it's that complicated. And he's telling you it's not. The roads are paved up in the clouds. I think we just need to learn to hit the gas pedal more and not the brake so much. And I'm guilty of that just like anybody else. And Blog Talk Radio's guilty of that. And we're all guilty of it in a sense because we're used to getting burned. And Gary's saying the water's fine. There you go. There's my riff on that. All right, so looks like the chat room is coagulating at this point. It is 10:06 on the East Coast. So, let's see if I have anything here. A little advice from Elvis, actually.
Two things you need to know. I'm the king. And number two is...
Look out, man!
There you go. Let's just take a little brief and unscheduled look at the swine flu. I got a note from my friend Matt about the swine flu and about... our friend Obama. It seems Obama is a little bit skeptical about this swine friend vaccine. So much so that his children have not been vaccinated yet. He did a little tap dance. So let me see if I can, Internet Explorer tries to recover from its seizure. It had about 5 to 9. Let's see. Here we go. And we're searching. Let's see. Matt McCoy. Not happening. Monday. Let's see. McCoy Press. Where are you, McCoy Press? No, nothing. All right, let's go over there. Anyway, what I wanted to get across was this vaccine, when it finally gets here, has a lot of things... attached to it that may or may not be something that that you can wrap your mind around right away. And I guess my look at this. He's got all kinds of stuff going on here. I'll look it up over here while I'm working. The vaccine itself hasn't been researched very well, and the resistance I think is going to go up, not down, in the coming weeks. And we're going to hopefully, like I said, we're going to have at least one, maybe two, maybe three entire shows, in whole or in part, devoted to spreading some good information about this vaccine and about why I feel everybody should run away from it. I don't care if you're high risk or low risk. I don't care if you're allopathic to the hilt and you're on 10 medications or if you never touch a kumquat. This thing is absolutely, to me, one of the most volatile situations we can have, because the fear alone is going to lower people's resistance and make people do things that are not in their best interest, and that's why I'm a little bit nervous that that this can go a different route, and hopefully, like I said, we'll be able to get the information to you guys if I can just find. See, this is the impromptu part of the show. Just find the message in a bottle here. Let's see. I go this route. Anyway, Obama did refuse to discuss a lot of his, let's just call it, decisions about what he's going to do with his kids. You know, he's kind of hem and a haw, and that hem and a haw is going to get a little bigger than kind of just an idle thing as the vaccine gets here. Look, I found it. I think I found it. No, I did not find it. I found McCoy Press, which gets me Stukats. Matt, man, you're killing me. All right, let's see if that's good enough. Scrolling down. I probably could have found it faster just going there, couldn't I? Tell you what, because I'm tired and you're tired. Let's just do this. Obama. This is real scintillating radio, I know. Flu shot. There's a video of it, too. Children. I just want to give Matt his props for the for his journal. If I could just find his link here in a sec. Oh, that's got runners on there. Anyone else in the chat room? No, looks like you guys are still hanging out. Any other questions? Let me just see. Any other questions? Any other you guys in the chat room? Any questions for me? Anything going on over there before I kind of start ignoring you a little bit? Let's see. Obama administration did 3 flu shots. Oh, my God. All right. Let's see if this is in the news. I don't know if they even have anything on here about this, about his kids getting the shot. Doesn't look like it. I got to find Maddie's link then. I think I would have looked this up before. Well, if I don't get to it before the show goes off, I will definitely post it on blogsoma.net, and maybe I'll run it up here on the tag on this link so that you can see it, because it's important to me that you realize that the President of the United States is not running to stick his kids with this vaccine. And he made some statements. So I just want to see if I can find it here. Because it was something that, out of all the things that I read and looked at, oh, here we go, Obama waffles. Oh, thank you, Matt. Okay. All right. And it's the research update on the old McCoy site here. Yeah, here we go. Journal of Pediatric, Maternal, and Family Health and Chiropractic. My buddy Matt McCoy down in beautiful Georgia. You can get to it at researchupdate.mccoypress.net. Obama waffles on swine flu vaccine for first family. I was on CNN. Interview with John King, the president mistakenly asserted that his children were not in the first line of priority recipients for the largely untested vaccine. He stated that children with neurological conditions were first priority and that his children were coming after that. Unfortunately, there's a little bit of a faux pas he commits here. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, this is wild. There's a lot of stats here that he talks about. Some of the data. The CDC, the Center for Disease Cheerleading, found that 13 of the children who died last year received at least one dose of the flu vaccine. That's 52% of the people that were in this pool here. Of further interest is that 15 of those who died had a chronic medical condition. So the order that people have currently is that first pregnant women, then people who live or care for children younger than 6 months of age, then anyone between the ages of 6 months and 24 years old, and then anyone between 25 and 64 who are high risk for H1N1 because of compromised immune systems. I don't know how they qualify that. And anyone who has a medical condition that would make them high risk. Now, we talked about it on the Morning Woo with William Whitman. The word influenza comes from the concept of influence. And what is the biggest influence about this flu is the fear of it, okay? And that's what lowers your resistance, guys. The bug has nothing to do with it. If you're not afraid, it can't get you. It's a boogeyman, I'm telling you. I'm going to be talking about viruses to my kids' class in a couple of weeks. And I got to tell you, I don't think a lot of people know. You know, viruses have no nucleus. They have nothing. They just thrive off of the succumbed organism that they're feeding off of. They're just a bunch of scavengers. And if you give them the credibility that they don't deserve, they'll take advantage. President Obama was quick to point out that he would ask his human health secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, and his CDC director, Thomas Friedman, to instruct him. Okay? So for the most part, which is a little bit weird, as Matt talks about here, is that while the president suggested that he personally was probably far down the list of recipients, perhaps he should give Sebelius and Friedman another call and remind him that he is a longtime smoker and that smokers fall into the category of vulnerability. So big ups to Matt because this is, like I said, there's a lot of backtracking. Remember they originally said 90,000 people are going to die from the flu? They're backtracking from that because they realize when they get people this afraid, people don't react really well. And, you know, we talked about the National Vaccine Information Center having a conference coming up October 2nd to 4th down in Washington, D.C. You can go over there to their website, nvic.org, and check out that stuff. I've got information for you. Like I said, we did the show back on September 9th talking about the flu. I'm constantly talking about this thing because I think it is a big, big problem. People get afraid, and they do really, really, really dumb things to themselves and their families. Hopefully we can avoid a lot of that. Maybe we'll get Matt himself on if we can't get the giant microbe guy to come across for us next week on the show. Maybe Matt will make a grudging appearance on the show. He's very resistant to come on here because we play rough, and sometimes he gets a little bit anal. And Matt's a little bit anal. What are you gonna do? He's Philo though, so he's very neat about it. All right, guys, I'm exhausted. Now that Gary's gone, it's like the fun's out of the room. So I think we're gonna go back to a little of this. Let's see, play us out here. There you are. Any questions? Any comments? Any queries? Any worries? Any concerns? I'm always available at nakedsoma@gmail.com. The website, of course, somaspace.org. The show, Soma Time. As the eco bobs of the music here. Get over there and you can check out everything about the four domains. I promise I will have a link up there as soon as possible for the Morning Woo. 1997, and you get 3 months of support, 3 months of guidance from me and William about everything about the seasons and how you can optimize your immune system, optimize your life, actually, by understanding some of these rhythms that are not widely reported. And you will absolutely be amazed at some of the stuff we came up with, and I think we did a great job. And it's sort of, like I said, it's sort of like a cover charge to get into Wooville and hang out with us, the truth tellers over there at Morning Woo. So, for everybody that participated in tonight's show, listened and interacted, thanks to Mike Silver for calling in. Really thanks to Gary for sticking around, and you could tell he was in a car driving somewhere, and he's had a long day. And like you said, he had a lot of better things to do than call our show, but he was nice enough to come on, promote his book, and we thank him for that. And hopefully we got a lot of those questions answered for you guys. So, that's it for this week. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next Wednesday night for more Soma Time. Thank you for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. Travel light, my friends. Bye, bye, bye.